This morning, this afternoon, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to take a break from going through the Gospel of John. And what I want to do that I haven't done, well, actually it's the first time I've done this on a Sunday, is really to give you, you know, if you're here today, you're a first-time visitor, we don't normally do this, but you're going to get to have an inside look at who we are as a church. Now, our name is called is Beyond the Walls, and our name is more than just a name. It's actually our mission and our and how we focus. We believe that as Christians, it's our responsibility and our mission to take the gospel outside the four walls of the church. Most of the time, when we think about Christianity, we think about a place, like going to church, or we think about going to church. But Christianity is all about a person. The church is all about people. And so the name Beyond the Walls really came for, we wanted to take the gospel outside the four walls of the church and make people understand what it means to live for Christ, you know, 7 days a week, 24/7. Because most of the time, we have almost, especially in America, we have almost made Christianity a one-day-a-week religion. We live like hell for 6 days, and we live holy for an hour on Sunday, and we go back to living like hell. But we just come and we do our duties, we say our prayers, we sing our song, and we soon we get in the parking lot, oh, that was good, and we go back to the gospel has not really affected our lives. Now, y'all know I'm telling the truth. It hadn't affected us, no way. But yet, that's not Christianity that I know. The Christianity that I know, that the Bible talks about, that it affects and it changes the way you think and live, and even when you're at home or on your job, you're taking Christ with you, and you live in such a way that people can look at your life and see there's something different about you, and they want to know why. What is that difference? And that difference is Jesus Christ. So we want to help people understand that we come together as a people, but we scatter to beyond the walls, and we take Jesus with us, and we share the gospel in our homes, in our communities, and on our jobs. We're Christians 24/7, and we live to honor God every day. So that's the focus of Beyond the Walls. That's who we want to take the gospel beyond the walls. But what we're going to give everybody today is a look inside the walls, inside beyond the walls. The question is, who are we? Why do we do what we do? What do we do what we do? And how that affects you? Because I just believe, I think the PowerPoint says that if you answer the why question, the what will take care of itself. Because most of the time, if you answer the why question, it will clarify the what question. Now, when I became a Christian, I was 25 years old. So I wasn't raised in a Christian home. So I didn't know all this churchianity that everybody did and what they said. So I would go somewhere, I would go to church, and someone would say something. Now, and I would say to them, but why? Now, in their mind, they thought, this guy's been a smart addict. But I really wasn't. I really wanted to know, well, why are you doing that? Why does a preacher, when he get up, he's talking normal, when he starts preaching, his voice changed. He sounded like, Earl Jones, somebody, James Earl Jones. What happened? So I'm asking all these questions. Why did they do that? Or why do they say that? What does that mean? When I became a Christian, before I became a Christian, I would meet somebody, would say, hey, how are you doing? I would say, I'm doing good. How are you? That was it. Well, when I became a Christian, I go to church and say, hey, good morning. How are you doing? And they would say to me, I'm blessed, highly favored, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I would say, why is he talking like that? I wasn't trying to be funny. I'm like, well, why is he talking like that? What happened? Or in their prayers, instead of them talking to have normal prayers, they would say stuff like, thee, thou. And I'm like, no, I don't talk that way. Do I got to pray like that? Or can I talk in my normal voice? So I'm asking these questions, why? Why are you guys doing that? Why are you saying this? And so, but to me, if you answer the why, the what take care of yourselves. So if you tell a person why you do something, then the what is a little bit more easier. Okay, now I see what we do because this is why we're doing it. Does that make sense to you? So we're going to see, as we look at an inside look at the walls, you're going to get to see, as a member, as a visitor, this is who Beyond the Walls is, and this is why they do what they do. Now, the key thing about, we're going to see, is you understand about the church. Why the church exists. Now, some of you have already, I saw some of you already cheated. You already filled out your outline before you said anything. Y'all already cheated. Can't, you guys are zealous. But anyway, so we say, why does the church exist? It exists to glorify God. Now you say, well, okay, and the question now, the church is made up of people. It's not a building. So if you are a Christian and you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are the church. You and I. It's not a building, it's a people. So it would be that you exist to glorify God. Now, when I understood that in my own mindset, because when I became a Christian, it was easy for you to get into this thing of saying, okay, can I do this? What can I do? What can't I do? The do's and don'ts, right? But as I began to read the scriptures, it said that what I wanted was a yes or no answer. And sometimes people come to me and they want me to give them a yes or no answer about something. They say, hey, Pastor, what do you think about this? Can I do that? And they want me to tell them yes or no. Because then if I say yes, and that's what they want to do, they feel better about themselves. But if I say no, and they wanted to actually do it, then they still do it, they just don't like me. Right. The difference, they say, oh, I'm still going to do it, but I'm hoping you don't find that I did it, and I'm not going to ask you again. But here's why I came to tell people this. I'm not going to answer the question for you. I'm going to give you a question, and you answer this. And I always say, is what you want to do, how does it glorify God? If you can answer that, you don't need me to tell you yes or no. Is what you want to do, or think you're about to do, how does that glorify God? Now, to me, that solves a lot of problems, issues in my life. About, should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I do this? Correct is, if you exist to glorify God, is what you're doing right now glorifying God? If it's yes, okay. If it's no, I guess you shouldn't be doing it. But people say, well, I didn't want you to tell me that. I want you to give me an answer. I'm not going to give you an answer. I want you to answer that for yourself. Because we exist to glorify God. Now, for those who are Bible thumpers, I'm going to give you some scriptures to back up that. Because I know you guys are waiting. Barry, no, you wait. John chapter 10. John chapter 11. I want you guys Facebooking. They went to church and didn't get no scriptures. John chapter 11. We're going to look at a verse, and we'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, but I just want to read these verses to you. John chapter 11. And when you have it, can you please stand with me, please? In another word, John chapter 11. I'm going to read just four verses, the first four verses. It says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Let us pray. Father, speak to us. Help us understand why we're here and what our church has been created to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here even Jesus is talking about Lazarus and his sickness is not going to lead to death. And yet this sickness is going to lead to the glory of God. Jesus said that this sickness is not going to be for death. It is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Also, in the margins, write down also John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, and this is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. And this is him praying to the Father. And it says that when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I want you to know Jesus was the ultimate disciple. Here he's praying and he's saying that he has glorified God on earth. And he says now, as he's getting ready to go to the cross and be crucified, he is saying that my death is for the glory of God. That I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be nailed to a cross, and that is all, I'm doing all this for your glory. Because I have a purpose for being here, and I'm going to fulfill my purpose for why I am here. Isn't that amazing? So I want to say to you that now, and the Bible says that now, we are the body of Christ. So if we are the body of Christ, that means that we as a church exist to glorify God, because now we are just an embodiment of Jesus Christ. And so we are here to glorify him. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Are you living your life for the glory of God? Are you living your life for the glory of God? And I like what James McDonald says in his book titled The Vertical Church. He says, let God himself be the main attraction at church. Because most times when we come to church, we think it's about us. I'm coming to get me a word, and I'm coming to hear me some music, and I want to make sure that music sounds good, and I want me a message, and I want a word for me. And see, we come to church, and it becomes man-centered. I want you to know, when you come to Beyond the Walls, it's not about you. It's about God. He is the main attraction. We serve an audience of one. And I want you to know, as a praise team, it is not about you. It is about Jesus Christ. When you up here, it is not about how good you sound, but you tuning up. It is about God himself being glorified through your life. And when I stand before you and before I preach, it's really not, I'm really preaching to an audience of one. I'm preaching for the glory of God. Because when he is glorified, then he says, I will draw people to myself. And so your life and my life is not to be people pleasers, we are to be God pleasers. And we need to understand that. So here at Beyond the Walls, we do one thing, we are here to please Jesus Christ, not you. We're here to please God. And so when you come here, when you gather here, when you see who we are, your mind should be the same way mine should be. It is not about me. I want you to know that what you are a part of is bigger than you. Now I want you to know something also, that I have gotten away from using the word need when it comes to people. Because now I'm going to say this about myself, so I'm going to say it about you. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need me to preach at Beyond the Wall. He doesn't need me. It's a privilege for God to use me. I'm telling you right now, I would pay to preach. Because that's what I'm called to do. I would pay to do it. He doesn't need me to do it. If I say I'm not going to do it anymore, God's will is still going to be done with or without me. I get a privilege to be a part of what he's going to do. So I tell everybody here, we want to understand something. When you come here now, we don't need you. God doesn't need you to accomplish his will. God wants us to be a part of it, but he doesn't need anything. He is self-existent. He's dependent upon himself. And that's why he says, thy will be done. So we understand that. So when I understand God doesn't need me, then I understand I'm here to glorify him. It's not about me. So let God himself be the main attraction at church. Again, that's what he says. And let us be tireless in our insistence that church is for God, about God, through God, and to the glory of his great son. Church is about God, for God, through God, and to the glory of his great son. So when you come here, it's about God. When you leave here, it's about God. And that's why we ask you, when you come here, when you come into this place, when you get here, that you come in to meet with the holy God. So you shouldn't come in here casually. You shouldn't come in here with a casual mindset. You shouldn't come in here just any old kind of way. You need to come with a mindset, I'm coming to meet with God in the place with God's people. So that's what it's about. Now, let me give you a scripture to help back up that also. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. It says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. That's powerful. For from him and through him and to him are all things. I exist for God to bring him glory. Our church exists to bring God's glory. You exist. You are here. God has saved you to bring him glory. And the sin of humanity is when we don't give God glory, we say, I want the glory. It's not about you. It's about God. Also, there's another scripture, Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, or according to the power at work within us, to him be glory where? In the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So what God is saying in the church, when people come here, they're to see my glory. They're to see my glory. Not you, not me. They're to see Jesus. When people leave here, they should be talking about, man, that's an awesome Jesus they were talking about. When people hear the praise Jesus, they say, man, that's an awesome Jesus they were singing about. That's the whole point. They should be saying, when they see the ushers, man, that's an awesome Jesus that the ushers were ushering about. See, it's so powerful when we get all of ourselves. And the thing that helps us as Christians now, we become so self-centered, so man-centered, that it affects us and say the fact that if I didn't feel it, then I didn't, you know, well, that wasn't for me today. No, it's about him. It's about Jesus. And so as we understand that here at Beyond the Walls, we make it so totally clear that we're going to be very careful to guard God's glory. Because he deserves it, not me, not you. And so we understand that we exist to glorify God. It also says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's amazing. He says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He said, you should always be thinking about the glory of God in your life, because if that's the case, so on your job, you should work for the glory of God. You should do your job not for a paycheck, but for his glory. Dr. King said, he said that if you are a street sweeper, you should sweep the streets for the glory of God. He said you should do it in such an awesome way that the angels in heaven take notes and say, wow, that's a street sweeper for God. Let me ask you, do you do your job for the glory of God? Or do you do it for people, for a paycheck? It's for God's glory. While we do things, while we're here today, it's for the glory of God. So that's why we exist as a church, to bring him glory. So now when we think about the why, this is why we're here, to glorify God. Then we talk about some things and say, okay, so since we know why we're here, then you say, okay, but before we go to the next slide, I'll say, we bring God glory, then how do we do that? Okay, here's one way we do that. This is what we do. Point one. What we do in response to answering the why. Now let me ask you another question. Go back to the slide. Let's have a test question. We exist for what? Now, y'all, I don't think you guys convinced. We exist for what? Okay, now you're convinced. Okay, say it like you mean it. You know, put your chest into it. If you mean it, you put your chest into it, your neck into it. You know, so we exist for the glory of God. So since that's the why, then this is what we do. Okay, what do? We celebrate his son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate, we share, and we multiply. So we're going to break those down. We celebrate his son, Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? What do we do to celebrate his son, Jesus Christ? I call that, when we come together, this is our gathering. When we gather on Sunday, we're gathering to celebrate Jesus. That's why we meet. One reason we meet is to celebrate Jesus Christ, what he has done, great things he has done. We celebrate him on Sunday. We gather to celebrate what he has done in our lives. That's why we meet corporately once a week to do this. We're celebrating right now. And you should be getting here on time, ready to celebrate what he has done for you. Because you exist to glorify him, right? Amen. So we meet to do that. To glorify him. And then also we share Now, let's stop for a minute. No, let me go back and say how we celebrate him. We celebrate Jesus through communion, through preaching, through praise and worship. Let me make sure if I have... We celebrate him through communion, through preaching, praise, and worship. And we don't want to take those things lightly. That's why I said that we don't take communion lightly. I think it was John Calvin that said, there are three things that constitutes a true church. Three things. The consistent preaching of the Word of God. The priority of the sacraments, communion and baptism. And three, the discipline of sin in the church. Three things. The consistent preaching of the Word of God. The priority of the sacraments mean communion and baptism. And the discipline of sin in the church. And what they're saying now, that those things are not evident in most churches. Most churches are not consistently preaching the Word. They're not doing that. Then another thing says that most churches don't give priority to communion and baptism. Most of them do communion as casually or not at all, or you do it so well. We're not going to do communion to offend nobody, so we won't do it during the service. You can get it on your way out or the way in, but we don't want to offend people. Can you imagine that at God's church, we saying that we don't want to celebrate his son Jesus Christ because we don't want to offend humans. Now, just wrap your head around that. Well, we won't put it right here in the center. We'll put it over there. We don't want to offend people. But the church exists to glorify God. And God's glorified through his son. So if you come here and you're not a believer, we're not going to embarrass you, but we're not going to neglect Jesus for you. We're going to celebrate Jesus because we're here for him. Now, I know that some of you might not like that, but the main attraction here is Jesus. You're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear that God loves you. But you're going to know when you leave here, they are some Jesus crazy people over there. It's about Jesus. They focus about Jesus, Jesus, and some more Jesus. That's what we're about. And we don't apologize. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to tell you what. No, yes, we are about Jesus. And we celebrate him through communion. And then another thing, baptism. They do it casually. Well, you can do it if you want to. Well, when I read my Bible, it wasn't an option. Jesus said, do this. Go therefore, make disciples, and you do what? You baptize them. The first thing that a believer would do, once they accept Jesus Christ, they would try to find some water and be baptized. So we don't apologize for that. We don't say, well, if you want to, no. We believe the Bible, Jesus Christ is Lord, and my baptism is to glorify him. And we say, yes, if you are a Christian, you are to be baptized, to be a member of our church, because that shows your first act of obedience that is not about you, it's about Jesus. And we don't apologize for that. Amen. We make communion and baptism a priority here because it reflects us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will not compromise that. We will not say it's okay. No, we believe in those two things. Amen. We have to. We have to do that because we want to obey the scriptures. We want to glorify Jesus Christ because the church is not about you, it's about him. And we do all things to glorify him. Amen? Amen. So we do it through communion, through preaching, through praise, and through worship. We praise God with our songs that we sing. That's praise. We praise him. Thank him. Now worship, sometimes we think worship is about singing. Now worship is not about singing. There's only two ways you can worship God that God requires. In spirit and in truth, had nothing to do with singing. Amen. You praise God with songs and singing, but you worship God through spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth doesn't, now spirit and truth, we gotta be careful. It doesn't mean jumping up and shouting loud. I ain't talking about the spirit. What he's talking about is the right heart, the right attitude. Amen. The right heart. Because see, you can be praising God and not be worshiping God. Now, you can be praising God and not worshiping God because your heart is not right. Because Jesus says, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is where? Far from me. So be careful about that. You can be singing and tuning up or preaching. You can be preaching and not worshiping. It's about the right attitude, right heart, and the truth. That's worship. Praise is what we say and sing. That's praise. But worship is all about the heart. Because Jesus said, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. That's what we want. So we want to celebrate Jesus here. As the early church did, they gathered. They made their gathering a priority. I like what Tony Evans said. He says that, you know, the early disciples dropped their nets to follow Jesus. He says that even today, you know, in today's society, we can't get men to drop their remote control to follow Jesus. I ain't dropping that remote control. Matter of fact, we said, listen here, you better help me get this thing over because I'm going back to watch me some TV. It's about Jesus, right? We're here to worship him. And Acts 2:42 talks about their gathering, how they gathered to celebrate Jesus. And it says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship, and to prayers. And they went house to house, you know, breaking bread together. And they went to the temple, worshiping God together. They were devoted to one another. And they didn't see it as the duty. It was part of the, it was their devotion. See, if you're here today out of duty, it's not good. You should be here because out of devotion. I'm not here because I have to. I'm here because I want to. See, and that's the difference. Most of us. See, I'm not here because of duty. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm devoted to Jesus. So here at Beyond the Wall, we want you to serve out of devotion, not out of duty. We want you to say, I'm here because I'm so in love with Jesus. And see, when you understand that in your walk with God, all that you do is out of devotion, there's nothing that you won't do for God. But if you see it as a duty, you say, well, I might not go that far. I'm not going to go so far. But if you're totally devoted, I'm going all the way. It's a question for you. Do you serve God out of duty, out of devotion? Do you celebrate his son, Jesus Christ? So we come here, when we gather here, it's a celebration. We do that. Also, we share the message of Jesus Christ. We share the message of Jesus Christ when we not only here, but outside of here. That's what we call beyond the walls. We share it beyond the walls, the gospel. How do we do that? By our witness. And that's by our witness, by our life, our lifestyle, and our verbal witness. I want you to understand, your lifestyle is a witness of the gospel. How you live your life is a witness of the gospel. It says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. He said, here, see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So how you live your life is very important. They gotta see something so they can match what you say with what they see. So they have to see something about us that draws them to God. And then when they come to us, then we're able to say something for God. So we live in such a way to glorify God that when we have an opportunity to share God, we have something to say about God. So we have to witness by our lifestyle and also by what we say. We got to say something. You got to tell them the gospel. Now, you just can't say, well, I'm going to do good stuff. I'm going to pray. I'm going to help them out. I ain't going to never say nothing. No, that's don't miss what I'm trying to say. You got to open your mouth. Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. They told me one day, she said, Pastor, I don't need to share my faith. I just be good to my neighbor. I give him some biscuits and take care of his dog when he's out the way. But, hey, that shows I'm a good neighbor. I said, no, yeah, that shows you're a good neighbor. That's great. You're right. You're a good neighbor. Now, he can have a good neighbor. You've been a good neighbor, ain't going to save him. Because, see, what we got to be careful about as Christians, so, well, I do good stuff. Now, you can be an humanitarian. There are a lot of people who are better, who are humanitarians in this world that will outdo us any day. They give money, they do this, they go here, they go dig wells, they give it, and that's great, that's to be commendable. But there are going to be some people who are humanitarians who Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you don't get to heaven by being a humanitarian. You get to heaven because of Jesus Christ who died for your sins, and you surrender your life to him and say, apart from him, I am nothing. So God hasn't called us to be humanitarians. He called us to be witnesses for him. And that's the difference. He said, be a witness. And that word witness means to be a martyr. to give your life for the cause of the gospel. So when you dig in that well or give them that water, people will know without a shadow of a doubt you are doing it in the name of Jesus and for his glory. So we celebrate him here at Beyond the Walls. We share him. And also we want to multiply Jesus. How do we multiply Jesus in others? I said again, we do it through baptism, through instruction, and through mentorship. Now, to multiply him, I can give you another word. We want to be disciples. I call that discipleship. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Jesus said, go make disciples. He told his disciples, go make disciples. Go multiply me in the life of other people. And he told us how to do that. It was simple and clear how Jesus said we are to do that. He said, go make disciples, and here's how you do it. Look what he said in verse 16. He says, in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That means he reigns, as the song says. You reign. He said, since I reign, you can go. Jesus says, now, wait a minute now. I want you to go wherever I reign. Okay, so Jesus, where do you reign? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he reigns where? In heaven and on earth. So you can go wherever you want to because I reign there, right? So we can go with the gospel because wherever we go, Jesus has already said, I have authority over that land there. So go and make disciples of all nations. How you do that, Jesus? Well, you're baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, observe all things I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we want to multiply Jesus through baptism, through instruction, through mentorship. That's discipleship. And we should be able to say as Christians, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, we should be able to say this, and most of us won't. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's the goal of discipleship. That when you're mentoring somebody, you should be able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul told the church in Corinthians. I want you to imitate me as I'm imitating Christ. Right, Elijah? You okay? Elijah getting saved over there. Okay, anyway, so I want to imitate Christ. That was about. So we want to celebrate him. We want to share him. And we want to multiply him. We should see people multiply. We want to be fruitful and multiply. God wants some grandchildren. He wants us to just make more of him. In the earth. And that's my responsibility, that's your responsibility, that's our purpose. And when we do all those things, when we celebrate him, when we share him, when we multiply him, we're glorifying him. See how it goes back to why we do it, what we do? We do all this, this is what we do, while we do it, to glorify God. Because you have been saved and created to glorify him. So that clears the picture for it should, hopefully, who we are as Beyond the Walls. You inside the walls, you say, this is who they are. This is what motivates us. So that brings us to, okay, this is why we do, this is why we do it, this is what we do. They say, okay, well, what's our mission? Next slide. That's why our mission is simple. It should be on your power. Now, everybody who's a member should already know that by heart. I should be able to call you at 3 in the morning and say, hey, Barry, it's Pastor over here. What's the mission of the church? Now, don't hang up on me. Just say it right quick before you hang up. And he should be just saying it and hang up. Okay, got it. Anybody in here who's a member, I should be to call you. You should be saying, hey, it's leading people to follow Jesus Christ. Right? That's the mission of Beyond the Wall. That's why we're here. That's what we do. That's our mission. That's what motivates us. That's what prepares us. So if you are a guest here and you're the first time being here, we're going to tell you up front, we're going to tell you truth in advertisement. It is our goal that you will leave here following Jesus. They ain't going to tell you no lie. Yep, that's what we want you to do. We want you to follow Jesus. We're going to tell you the small print. We're going to put it in big letters though. We want you to follow Jesus because we believe that he is the most important person that ever lived, and the most important person that ever lived loves you so much that he died for you. That you can't listen, and that's free. Amen. Why wouldn't you want to follow a person like that who loves you and cares for you and says, I want to give you freedom, forgiveness, peace for free. Come to me. That's why we're here. And we want you to understand that that's our mission, to lead people to follow Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. Then you may say, when you think about this, a mission, okay, well, why another church? We got churches in Temecula, Marietta, Menifee. Like, why another church? Why another church? Now, if you haven't asked that question, you should. Well, why? Because, number one, first of all, you can't get enough of church. You know how many people live in Temecula? 104,819. So how do you know that? Well, I pass by coming to work and I see a sign that says it all the time. So that's why. So I'm not a prophet. I just see it. I just read something. That guy's a prophet. He just said it down to the T. No. I see the sign when I just saw it when I came in here. 104,000 people in Temecula. That's 115,000 in Marietta. I want you to know, just for those two towns, they ain't packing up out anybody's church. They're not. Everybody's not going to church. If that's the case, it'd be all churches couldn't hold them. So you can never have enough churches, number one. But the question is that, why another? Why this church? Why Beyond the Walls Community Church? That's the key. Why? What it tells you to, this is what we do. Our mission is leading people to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you our vision. This is our vision. This is the what we do. This is the why we do it. Our vision is to be multi-ethnic, multi-generational, gospel-centered, body of believers that loves God and loves people. Now, I should be able to call you up, Larry, at 4 in the morning. And you should be able to quote that to me, brother. Say, and don't ask Carl to help you. Help me, baby. The pastor got me on the phone. No. They call Lifeline. No. It's all on you. But really, we want you to get this into your mind, to your head, your heart, and to your spirit. Because now this right here, this is why we do. We lead people for you. This is why we do it, because we want to be a multi-ethnic, multi-generational gospel-centered church. Now let me break those two words down to you. We say, well, what do you mean multi-ethnic? Well, here's the key. Our nation is getting more and more diverse. It's becoming more brown. It's what it is. Our nation is becoming more diverse. And I'm pretty sure if I ask you, Nakia, that on your job, you're not working for all black people, are you? Okay, you got some Hispanics, some whites, did y'all, right? I'm sure to ask you, if I ask you where you live at, not everybody in your neighborhood look like you. They're very diverse, correct? I'm pretty sure if I ask some of you, say, yeah, my neighborhood is diverse, right? When you agree? Okay, so let's say, okay, so my neighborhood is diverse. So that means your neighborhood, your job is diverse, your school is diverse. How can when you come to church, our churches most of the time are not diverse? Now you just said, I live in a diverse neighborhood, I work in a diverse job, I work in a diverse country, but yeah, I go to church and everybody looks like me. Why is that? There's a problem somewhere, right? So what we want to be here at Beyond the Walls, we want to be a multi-ethnic church. That means the fact that anybody can come here and they can say, hey, I can feel at home here because this is not a black church, not a white church, not a green church, not a purple church. It's Jesus' church. Amen. And we want you to understand that. So when you now, the key for you to understand is very key, because where you might have come from might have been an all-white, all-black, all-Hispanic. Now when you walk into these doors of Beyond the Walls, game changes. Amen. You got to change your mindset. So what that means when we say multi-ethnic, we mean that we would not cater to one ethnic group over another. We would glorify, we would preach the gospel to all the sinners, all need to be saved. And not only that, what it means also that we would not just say, okay, so our music. Now, I want you to understand this. When you come here, you're going to be challenged when it comes to praise music here. And that's on purpose. We want you to be a little uncomfortable. Because you're going to sing some song and you say, oh, I like that song. I know that song. Then they're going to be singing, I don't know what that song is. What's that? No. You know, do I stomp or clap or what? Do I sit down? I don't know what to do. Do I pop lock or I don't know what to go on? Yeah, whatever. No, it's going to make you uncomfortable. Because you say, I'm not used to that. I'm uncomfortable. I want you to know something. There could be some songs in heaven you don't know. But the person, remember now, the object of our worship is who? Jesus. Not about you. So we want you to be uncomfortable. so that you can understand and say, no, it's not about you, it's about him. So when you're singing those songs and you do it out of devotion, it's not about you. You say, I can worship God because the song is talking about my Savior. How can I keep my mouth closed when it's talking about my God reigns? I can't stand there and just say, you can't do that, can you? You wouldn't do that. Now, I know some of you say, well, I don't get emotional. Yes, you do. Everybody has some emotion. Yes, you do. If I ask you what's your favorite football team and basketball team, and you let them lose. You let that team, your team lose, woo, woo. Man, you got to start speaking in tongues. And it's not a holy tongue either. You know what I'm talking about. Saying all kind of stuff. Sign language going on. On Facebook. You know, all kinds of stuff. Devil is a lie. You know, all kinds of stuff. Why are you saying that? You get emotional. So don't say you don't. Don't say that you're not emotional. You are an emotional being. God gave you emotions for a reason. But we're here to make you uncomfortable. Because we want you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So yes, so we want to be multi-ethnic. So our goal is to have people that don't look like us. The thing about us is so good here, we don't all dress alike. We don't all look alike. We all don't eat the same food. We all don't vote alike. And we like it like that. Amen. You see some people come to church, they got shorts on. Now where you grew up, if someone came into church with shorts on, you probably, the mother passed out. Oh, Lord, Jesus. God. She in the church. She wasn't sure. She going to hell. Oh, God. You don't tell the truth. Don't tell. Come on, you know. It would happen. Or they cover them up. Let me cover you up right there, don't you? Embarrassing people. And what we're saying here, the only option we have for you as far as clothes on, wear some clothes. That's about it. We ain't back in the days of Adam and Eve. Wear some clothes. Put something on. But listen. But we're not trying to tell you about how you, man looks at the outward, God looks at the heart. Amen. I want you to come with a heart, spirit of truth. You know, to honor, so that messed some people up. You come in tennis shoes, you come how you want to. That don't bother me none. I'm happy to see Mark in his shorts on. Cool. It's hot outside. I mean, I'm saying it. You know, you ain't got just like me. I do because I want to. I like this. But don't try to just understand it. It's to the glory of God. So we breaking that type of tradition, that dogma. Don't want to have that here. We're going to guard against that. We don't want that here. We want Jesus to be the main attraction here. I'll tell you this story. It tripped me out one day. I was back in Memphis. I'm pastoring this church. On a Sunday, I go to the grocery store. Lynette's relaxing. I got the two kids in the buggy. I'm sitting there with some jogging pants on. And I'm with a ball cap on, so I got the buggy, and this lady turns around and says to me, man, this is so nice, you got your sisters and brother out here shopping. Now, she's telling me that Dimitri and Demetria is my sister and brother. I said, no, ma'am, those are actually my kids. Boy, how old are you? I mean, she about to dress me down. I said, well, Mom, I look younger than I am. I'm actually older, I'm married, these are my kids. She said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm actually the pastor of church over here. And she looked at me, she said, you the pastor. she looked that down at me and she said, you don't look like no pastor. I said, well, ma'am, how's a pastor look? I wouldn't know, so how do you look? Well, you know, you're not dressed like one. I said, I'm not at church. I'm in the grocery store. What do you mean? I'm not at church. I said, but tell me, how does a pastor look? He says, well, you know, he has slacks on, a tie, and a shirt. I said, even out of church? You want me to be in here with a shirt and with my kids? She said, well, you know, that's how pastors look. But I'm saying, people think that, though. I'm telling you, that old mindset, it messes you up. But we want to be also multi-generational. Now, what that means is this, that we want to celebrate us at all ages. The spring chickens, you know. Those are young spring chickens. Stop pointing at it. What I mean by this is all of us have something to offer to the body of Christ. Amen. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Amen. We want the people to be like Caleb. Right. Caleb said, I'm 80 years old, and I'm still as strong as ever. And I'm going to work for the Lord. He said, I want my mountain. I want what God promised to me. And I'm 80, and I want that mountain, Joshua. Give it to me. And Joshua said, go get it. And Caleb got it. Caleb was still walking in faith at 80 years old. He was just as feisty as ever for Jesus. So what we say here is that if you are older, that means you're wiser. And we want you to be a part of, the Bible says that the older women are to do what? Instruct the younger women. The older men are to instruct the younger men. And then Timothy told Paul, for the older people, treat them as fathers. Respect them. So everybody here has value here. Whether you are older or younger, if you are a teenager, we want you to work for the glory of God. Everybody is to be a part of the body of Christ, and everybody contributes. This is not going to be a young church, a hip church, or an old church. It's going to be God's church. And everybody is to be loved, respected, and everybody has a part to play here at Beyond the Walls. We want you to be a part here. We want to celebrate all generations. Okay? So that's what we try to be. And we want to be gospel-centered. The gospel is the main thing that you would hear coming from the pulpit. God loves you. He died for you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is what saves us, what motivates us. But we want to love God and love people. We don't love God and love people. Now, it's easy to love God, isn't it? I mean, I'm honest, it's easy to love God. He doesn't mean no wrong. But people, that's another story. I love God. Now, God is cool with me. This guy said he wasn't going to church. His wife woke up early to get ready for church, and he said, I ain't going to that church. He said, they're a bunch of hypocrites at that church. They don't like me, and I don't like them. She said, honey, them people like you, they're not all hypocrites at that church. She said, well, if it is, there's still room for one more. But she said, they don't not like you. And she said, besides, you know, you're the pastor. you gotta go to church. You gotta preach this morning. You know what I'm saying? But if you know, God said, man, I love pastor, one for people. I love the pastor if you want for people. But then you can't do that. You got to love God. You got to love people, right? Right? See, all of us, see, the issue with gets us is not love God gets us, to love people gets us. Because that's what the challenge gets in. See, that's when you need God, to love people. And that's when Jesus said, you can't love me and hate people. He said, if you say you love God who you have not seen, hate your brother who you have not seen, you're a liar. Can't be trusted. So he says that loving people proves love for God. They go together. So we want to love God and we want to love people. We want to love people. We want to love you. The good, the bad, the ugly. And so what that means when we say we love you, that means the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you read that and start practicing that. Love keeps no ledger of wrong. A ledger. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not puffed up. Love is not easily angered. Pastor, amen, help me. Yeah, not easily angered. But it happens, right? It happens among you. If we stay together long enough, there's going to be a time where you're going to get on my nerves. And there's going to be a time where I'm going to get on your nerves. It's going to happen. So what do you do when I get on your nerves and you get on my nerves? What happens? We have to love one another in spite of that. And this is where I think churches get this wrong, right there. Because Jesus says, by this you would know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And this is where churches don't practice. This is where we get to give the church a black eye. We don't love people. We talk about one another. We gossip. We hold on to grudges. And yet we are the vehicle that God uses to say, this is what love looks like. So we want to do that here. So that's our vision. All right? So we're going to go to our next slide. Our strategy. Everything that we do here is about building relationships. Now, let me stop right there and camp out for a minute, because when we think about building relationships, this is why I think also the church does a bad job. And it's building relationships, first of all, with one another. We have something in here that we use about building relationships. We want to have connection groups. Because our connection groups is how we build relationships with one another. If you just come on Sunday and you just celebrate Jesus, we had a great time celebrating Jesus, and I'll see you next Sunday. That's not building a relationship. You just celebrate it with us. Building relationships when we have our connection groups, where you get to know one another, you get to share a small meal, talking to one another over the Word of God, and you begin to share and pray for one another. That builds community. And many people don't want to build community. They okay with celebration. That's all we want to celebrate. Sunday, I celebrate with you, but don't bother me throughout the week. Don't call me, nothing. And yet we say we love people that we're going to spend eternity with, and we don't want to spend no time with them on earth. Jesus is all about building relationships. Because when you build a relationship with someone, then you can share truth, and you can watch God transform a life. Now, most of us want to share truth with no relationships. We want to share truth to somebody. They don't know who you are. So that helps us also in being disciples and making disciples and sharing Christ. You have to build a relationship with people, speak truth into their lives, make them trust you. If they can trust you, they wouldn't listen to you. And if they listen to you, they may be willing to follow you. But it's about building relationships. So we want to do that here. That's how we want to build relationships. Secondly, what's our process of doing that? How do we do our process here of discipleship? Now I want you to know, discipleship is a process. It is a lifelong process. If you are a Christian, you are in the process of, you are a disciple, you are being a disciple, you are becoming a disciple. It is a process. You're constantly growing in your walk with Christ. It's a lifelong process, and you will never graduate until you die. So if you're 100, you're still trying to grow and be a disciple. It's a process. And we want to help you in that process. You should be moving. You should be further along in your walk with Jesus than you were last week, last month, last year. If you say, man, there's no growth in my life since last year, uh-oh. Some sort of dead monkey on the line somewhere. Where are you in your walk with Christ? So as our process of making disciples, it's about moving you closer and closer to Christ. So we do what we use, come and see. That means that we are inviting people to come and see. We invite people to come and see who we are. Now, you can only invite people that you are in a relationship with. Build a relationship with people, you invite people to come. Now, I want you to know, how many in here, now just a show of hands, most of you came to our church because you knew somebody. I mean, you just didn't pass by and say, oh, well, some people did. Some people saw this, like Mark and Joanne, right? You saw this sign and you, okay, oh, that's a church right there. So you came in, right? But you came back not because of the sign, did you? You came back because what's inside of the building, right? The people, right? So you come back because, oh, okay, I saw the people. They're not Martians. We'll try it again. Right? So you came. So some people will come and they see the sign, they'll show up. But some people will stay when they say, hey, I talked to those. They're nice people. Maybe I come back again. Or I come back again. See, our goal is here is the fact that when you come here, as the win is that fact, you would say, you know what? They're nice. They didn't embarrass me. They seem to be genuinely concerned about people. It was okay. Build relationships with people. You can share truth. I want you to come and see. We invite people. They want you to come and connect. We help people come and connect with Jesus Christ, number one, and then help the community with other believers. We want you to come and connect, first of all, with Jesus Christ. Our church is not a country club. It is a body. It's an organism. It's about believers believing in Jesus Christ and being a part of the body. I want you to come and connect with Jesus Christ. And that's why we place a high value on church membership. We do. We put a high value on church membership because church membership expresses this. Church membership expresses your commitment to Jesus Christ and the church that he placed you in. It also expresses your commitment to care for one another. It also expresses your commitment to be cared for by others. It also expresses your willingness to share the work. I want you to know this don't happen by we just come up here, just snap our fingers, it happens. Someone has to do this. Set up, break down, all this. People do this. They're members of our church. And when you become a member, you say, hey, I want to be a partaker. I want to not only be cared for, I want to help. And I want you to know that the local church is a visible expression of our commitment to Jesus Christ and his mission in the world. Being a part of a church is a visible expression of your commitment to Jesus Christ. It is. Because you can read the Bible, and most of those letters were written not to individuals, they were written to churches. Jesus wrote, told John to write in Revelation, seven letters. Not to seven people, he said to the seven churches. He wrote them to the people inside of there. So you, we are supposed to be a part of a church. Also, so we talk about our coming, our process, inviting people, you know, come and see, come and connect, come and serve. So we want you to understand that process. So as you go along, as a member of our church, you should be understanding our discipleship process. You should understand why we do it, what we do. Now, we put a high value on building relationships. That's why I said, now, I didn't say discipleship program, did I? I said process. We don't focus on program. We focus on processes. What we do, systems, what it makes people go from here to here to here. But we don't focus on programs. Build relationships, and people will grow. And my goal is that as you are coming here, growing in your walk with Jesus Christ, and you walk with one another, you also are growing in your walk in your community, and you build relationships with unbelievers. Do you know this says that the average Christian, after they've been saved for 5 years, they have no more unsaved friends? So if you have no more unsaved friends, who are you going to impact than with the gospel? Then you start impacting nobody. You become just a nice little huddle. Us four no more. We want to impact our community. You got to be around unbelievers. You got to go hang with them. You got to go to the skating rink. You got to go to places. You got to hang out. But you got to go skating rink. You got to do all that stuff. So I want to talk about one thing, but right before we close, as one thing that we do in our Come and Connect piece about being in community, and this is for our church members, and hopefully you have a piece of paper, is the Church Community Builder. And I'm going to have Cynthia come up for a minute, and we're just going to talk about this Church Community Builder. And how many of y'all have been on our website? Raise your hand. Okay, how many...